And happy Mother's Day. I'm excited to bring the message to you guys today, and I believe I've got a good one to share with you. Now, I wanted to start off with something a little bit fun, and so what I did was this past week, I put on Facebook, on my Facebook page, it said, I need some help. I need you all to share with me some of your favorite momisms, all right? Something that you heard your mom say on a regular basis, and I was expecting about 20 or 30 comments, and I got lit up. Like 170 something comments. They're still coming today. People are still commenting. It cracks me up. And if you want to be entertained for a good 10 minutes, all right, go to my Facebook page and just read through some of these. Some of them were hilarious. Some of you all had to direct message me what your mom said because you found it too inappropriate to post. Oh, then, man, it was good stuff. All right. I wanted to read a few of my favorites. Some of these they're going to be very familiar, all right? First one is this. I brought you into this world. I will take you out. This is another good one. Quit crying or I'll give you something to cry about. Here's this one. Close the door. You weren't born in a barn. Followed closely by, close the refrigerator door, you're letting all the cold air out. That was a good one. All right, they got a bit more personal. I like this one too. This one, someone's going to know who this is, all right? Watch who you're talking to. I'm not one of your little friends on the street. Oh, man. I like this one. If you run with skunks, you'll smell like them. How's that? Momisms. This was a good one. This was a good one, too, and I remember this one. All right. I don't want to hear you started a fight, but don't you ever run from one either. Now, my mama told my dad, she added something to it. She said, I don't want to hear you started a fight, but don't you ever run from one either, because if you get home and I find out you ran, I'll whip you worse than that bully ever would have. Old school West Virginia right there. Seriously, go to my Facebook. Not right now, after the service, when you're home and you're chilling. There's a lot of really, really fun ones, all right? But listen, my wife said it best. Moms, you are amazing, all right? You have the toughest job. You have such a difficult job, and it doesn't seem to ever really end. You're always at work, and you're always focused, and you're women of faith, and we're excited about you all being here today. And I believe that I've got a good message to help you today, but it's not just a message for the women or a message for the moms. It's actually a message for everyone that we're going to learn from one of the most famous moms. I thought it's Mother's Day. Who should we learn from today? I thought, let's learn from one of the most famous moms in the Bible. Let's learn from Jesus' mom, Mary. All right, so we're going to look in the Word today. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray. Let's open our hearts and allow Holy Spirit to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in and celebrate motherhood. It's a gift, and we honor that. And we thank you, Lord God, for every single person here. Lord, we open our hearts and allow your voice to speak to us today, to encourage us, to build us, to heal us. And we allow your word, Lord, to take root in our lives that will produce great, great results for the kingdom of God. We once again allow your voice to be the dominant voice, prioritizing you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for these things. Everybody believes that, say amen. Amen. All right, so normally I have handouts. And some of you all, when you see me preach and you're like, where are the handouts? You get a little nervous. Where are the fill-in-the-blanks, Pastor Josh? Did you get lazy? No, I decided to change my message up a little bit last minute yesterday, so I didn't have time to put one together, all right? So apologies. So I thought you could do a couple different things instead. You can pull out an offering envelope right on the back of that. You got your bulletin right on the back of that. I'm still going to give you some things that I want you to write out today if you want to follow along. Of course, you've got smartphones. Everybody in here, almost everybody, has a smartphone, and you could use the Notes app or something like that, all right? And so you can follow along. We're going to be looking at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, at first glance, you're thinking, Mary was the mother of Jesus, all right? My kid's still not wiping her own rear end. What do we have in common with Mary, all right? And you're going to be surprised a whole lot more than you realize that we can learn from Mary, a whole lot more in common than you can imagine. And she has something to share with us. Mary has something to teach us through her life. Not just the women, like I said, but everybody here, everybody listening has something to learn about our faith and growing, okay? So what I want you to do is, if you're going to take notes today, you got to do it old school. You got to do it without all the assistants. Grab it out, all right? Get that offering envelope, whatever it is. If you need a pen, raise your hand. Ushers can give you a pen real quick, all right? But I want you to write down Mary's faith. Write down Mary's faith, because that's what we're going to talk about, how her life would guide us, what she went through, where faith begins, where it can often lead, and how God can work in my life and in your life to bring what I would call bring about a genuine faith, a real faith that works and that lives every single day. And so I want to jump right into it. We're going to learn from the life of Mary and how faith works in our lives, all right? The first question I was asking when I was looking at the life of Mary was, where does faith begin? Where does faith begin in my life? And where did it begin in Mary's life, all right? We're going to find out. It's actually not so different with the whole thing, you know, her baby being Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, that being a bit unique for Mary. But you're going to find that there are a lot of similarities between her experiences and what we experience on a regular basis every single day. And she actually responded to God in a very similar way that we do. She responded to God in a lot of the same ways that we respond to God when he speaks to us. And she went through some of the same experiences, had a lot of the same feelings, had a lot of the same ups and downs, what she dealt with, and whatever you want to call them. But there were some things that she had to face in order for her faith to grow. How many of you have learned that there are some things you've got to face in order for your faith to grow? And so this is what we're going to deal with today, looking at Mary and some of the things that she dealt with. And so Mary begins this whole thing of faith. When God came, he challenged her faith. All right, and right underneath, I'm going to have you write three words underneath Mary's faith. And the first word I want you to write is the word confusion. Write down the word confusion, because that's where she began. It all began with confusion with Mary. We're going to put the scripture on the screen if you want to follow along. Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to spend most of the day. Luke chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. This is what the Bible says. I'm reading out of the Contemporary English Version. I like that translation. The angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you." And Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. So immediately, God sends an angel to speak to Mary, tells her, "Mary, you are blessed, truly blessed. And then I'm going to do something absolutely amazing in and through your life, something that's never happened before, that won't ever happen again, and it's going to be you." And her immediate reaction, the Bible says, is confusion. Why? Why, after God sends this powerful message, this life-changing message, would she respond with confusion? There's two reasons why. The first reason is because Mary didn't know who she was. She had no idea who she was. The second reason is because she also didn't know who God was. She did not quite understand. Those are often the two reasons why we end up confused when God initially challenges our faith. We get confused. First, we get confused because we don't understand who we are. This is how Mary felt. Let me explain it this way. All right. Mary didn't understand who she was, so she's dealing with this confusion. An angel comes to her and says, "Mary, you are truly blessed." Right now, in that day, those were words that you would typically use to describe or to honor someone who was a king, someone who was royalty, someone who had a big, fat, thick robe on, someone who had a crown on, somebody who had position, somebody who had power. "Hail, king." All right, I don't know if they said it like that. But they would honor the king, and they would, you know, "You are blessed, O king. You are blessed, Almighty." And that's how they would honor people. And when Mary heard that, she thought to herself, "Why are you using words that I would use to honor a king for someone like me? A little peasant girl, teenager. Why are you using those kind of words to describe someone like me?" She had no idea who she was. See, those words didn't fit the picture that she had of herself. She didn't see herself as blessed. She didn't see herself as highly favored. She didn't see herself as someone who was worthy of being honored like that. Think about you. Do those words fit you today? Do they fit your picture of yourself? She didn't understand who she was. It didn't fit her image, her self-image. It didn't fit how she felt, how she saw about herself. You know, what if I said to you, "Do you know that God loves you so much John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he loved you. He gave his only begotten son. Does that fit your picture of yourself? In other words, do you see yourself sitting here this morning loved by God, really loved by God? Do you see yourself, the picture of yourself, forgiven, restored by God? Do you see yourself blessed, favored by God? See, this is what Mary was dealing with. This is why she's initially confused, because God starts speaking something over her that she didn't believe about herself. She didn't know that, she didn't believe she was blessed. She's confused by this. This doesn't make sense. Let's look at it this way. After church, you get in your car and you're driving home, or you're driving to, you know, hopefully somewhere good to eat today for Mother's Day. And all of a sudden beside you, angel appears. You are highly favored. The angel goes on to speak. God is going to do something absolutely incredible in and through your life, life-changing. And then disappears. You're driving, all right? What would your first thoughts be? All right, seriously, after you got over the whole shock of an angel appearing in your car and wondering if, you know, man, I wish I had my phone out. All right, some of you probably already did. You're texting and you're like, texting and driving, breaking a law. But after you get over the initial shock of that, would you actually receive that word that that angel spoke over you, the highly favored, the blessed, about to, or would you think, dude, you're in the wrong car? I'm headed to Taco Bell on Mother's Day, okay? I mean, I don't know what it would be. But would that something that stick with you? Because you got to look at this from Mary's perspective here. Do you understand how truly important and valuable you are to God? Mary was dealing with this. She was struggling with this right from the get-go, not understanding why she's being talked to this way. But does God's promises, does God's favor, does God's blessing on your life, does it fit the picture of how you see yourself? Does it fit your image? Because that's how God sees you. There are a lot of believers who live confused, because when God begins to challenge our faith, and God will challenge your faith because he wants your faith to grow. So when God begins to challenge your faith, it's usually going to be something that's so above and beyond what we even believe we can do ourselves, that what ends up happening is it doesn't quite fit our picture. God challenges you with faith and increase, and you go, but I don't think I can do that. All right, let's look at it this way. All right, God begins to drop his dreams into your heart and into your life. And for a lot of us, the initial response is confusion. Because when we think about God's dream for our life and our dream, they don't match up. God's dreams are often different than our dreams. Let's get real. If we had to be honest, our dreams deal with finances. They deal with, you know, our family life. They deal with our prosperity and setting up our future, right? If we want to be real honest with it, if it was up to you and you could have your dream, most of us, it looks like winning the jackpot, all right? Life is good. Money is thick, all right? You got full bank accounts, maybe a private beach somewhere. I don't know, whatever it is. But when we think about our dreams, they end up with us living the best life ever, all right? And some people are like, not me, Pastor Josh. I'm humble. And I think to myself, yeah, right. It'd take two weeks, and you would be like, the caviar is so tasty. It's fabulous. I don't know. Money would mess you up immediately. I always laugh at that. People are like, not me. I would support missions. Yeah, sure you would. All right. While you were laying on the beach, you know, sipping something cold, shut up. God's dreams are always bigger than our dreams. They're always bigger than our dreams. God's dream's better than that. It's better than my dream. It's better than your dream. It's more significant than the dreams I have. And I've got good dreams, but God's is greater. The reason why God's is greater is because there's greater purpose in God's dream for my life than my dream for my life. And God sees the value of me living for him, through him, and the impact it'll make in this world for the kingdom of God. Now, that's why God's dreams are better. So when God begins to give his bigger dream and his better dream, often the first reaction we have is confusion. We have confusion. And the reason why is because in our minds we're going, but that's not what I was thinking. That's not how I thought this would work out. That's not the time frame I thought it would work. That's not the time I thought, you know? And so we end up with a little bit of confusion here, right? God comes to us and he says, I'm going to give you more faith. I want you to have more faith. And for Mary, her first reaction was, I'm a bit confused. And the reason why is because that's not how she saw herself. The image was different. The image was off. And there was a struggle there, right? And if you've ever felt that way, welcome to the planet. This is how it works here. You're part of the club. You're actually pretty normal. And that's often our first reaction. And the reason why is because we don't understand who we are. We don't understand who we are. But there's another reason that we deal with the confusion, and that's because we don't understand, and Mary didn't understand who God is. She didn't truly understand who God is, all right? So the first feeling Mary had was a bit of fear. First feeling she had was a bit of fear, all right? How many of you have felt that before? God has spoke something to you, challenged you, and the first initial reaction was, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. A little bit of fear. That's also pretty normal, all right? You know, and it's something like there's an excitement there, but you're a little bit afraid. There's an energy there and there's an anticipation there, but you're a little bit, you know, just a little bit concerned about it. And, you know, and you feel like, I don't know. I don't know if I can live up to that. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can accomplish that. And then all your brain kicks in and you start thinking, but what if it doesn't work? And what if I fall flat on my face? And what if I fail? And what if I get laughed at? And what if I lose everything? And what if, and we have all that little bit of fear that starts to creep in, all right? That's the way most people feel when there's a challenge. That's the way so many of us initially deal with the challenge of our faith growing, is we deal with a little bit of that fear. That's why so often you see it in the Bible, in the first three words that Mary heard from the angel were those words in verse 30, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's about to bring a dream into your life. God's about to challenge you. God's about to introduce something. God's about to place an idea in your heart. He's about to give you an ambition. He's about to give you a mission. Don't be afraid. And then God says it over and over and over again. Why? Because we need to hear that over and over and over again, because God knows that instinctively when we are challenged, we typically are afraid. There's a bit of fear that comes in there. You know, one of my favorite places where Jesus spoke to us and told us to not be afraid is John 14. And I love this translation. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give you isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Everybody say this after me. Say, follow the peace. Follow the peace. That's some awesome wisdom and advice right there. Follow the peace of God. Peace doesn't always look like peace. Peace doesn't always look calm. Sometimes peace is just a covering. But follow the peace in your heart. Wherever you've got peace, then you can follow that and know that God's with you, all right? And so God says, whenever you are dealing with fear, turn to me, I'll give you peace. That's who God is, all right? That's the thing about God, all right? And he would speak to us about, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I've had over my years in ministry, I've had people ask this question, but doesn't the Bible say something like, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and that, you know, that we should fear God, and what's up with that? How can I not be afraid and be afraid at the same time? Well, those aren't the same things. Fear and being afraid, they're not the same things, okay? There's two different meanings of the word don't be afraid that we see throughout Scripture, and I thought it was worth just taking a moment to share about this, all right? Don't be afraid means don't have terror when it comes to God. Don't have terror when it comes to God. In other words, don't run away from him. Don't run from God, all right? When you are terrorized by something, something's chasing you, what do? You run. There's a danger, you run, okay? You look for safety, all right? That's what this means. Don't be afraid is talking about the terror. In other words, don't run from God. But when the Bible uses the word fear, often in the Old Testament, what it really means is a deep respect or an awe, like an, oh, wow, God is awesome. And where don't be afraid means don't run from God, all right, that awe and respect actually draws you closer to God. You run towards him with the right kind of fear, all right? For example, if someone were to right now yell the word, fire, everybody would be like, oh, you know, and you're going to be like George Costanza running out of here, shoving people out of the way, okay? That's an old reference. You don't know what I'm talking about, all right? But you're going to try to look for safety, all right? You're going to try to run for safety. Go get your kids. Get out of here because fire, there's danger there, all right? But see, there was a place in the Old Testament where a man named Moses saw fire in a burning bush, and he knew that that was the presence of God. And so instead of running from the fire, it drew him closer. And that's the difference between don't be afraid. Don't be afraid and run from God. Have an awe, a respect for God that'll deepen and draw you closer to God. That's the difference between terror and respect or awe, right? Terror makes you want to run away. The fear of God, the awe of God, though, draws you closer to him, all right? And if I'm being honest, I think that's where a lot of us are. I think a lot of us are planted right about that place where we're being challenged right now in our faith. God's working in our life. God is pressing us to do something new. You know, whenever you're pressed to do something new, you're going to deal with a bit of that confusion. You're going to deal with that bit of that fear. But instead of it being a fear that causes you to run from God and run from the challenge and run from the growth, you should allow that to be an awe, a respect, and run towards God and run towards the challenge. And let God use you. You know that just this past week, and I'm going to brag on them, we had two businesses launch out of this church, all right? We had Paradise Donuts down in Milton launch. Had a great opening for first week, all right? We love you guys. Donuts are awesome. I went there and bought a dozen for the staff, and they didn't last 30 seconds. It was like piranhas, all right? And then we had the Collective Market that opened down in East Pea Ridge with Jessica Lyons. We're so proud of these businesses starting. Listen, when you're facing something new, there's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a confusion. How do I work this out? God, will it work out? But instead of being challenged and being afraid and running from, you should be challenged and run to. And let God use you. You know, there's a lot of people that are being challenged to deepen their relationship with God, to have a closer relationship with Jesus. And, you know, and they're not sure. And there's a part of you that says, I don't know if I want to get closer. Well, that's the you part. But there's also a part that goes, but I am kind of curious to know what it's like to have that real deep, intimate relationship with God. That's the part. It's the part that draws you closer to him. It's the part that God uses to attract you and draw you into his presence even more, all right? That's the part where I get closer to God, all right? How does that work? Well, I have God challenging my life. All right, a new kind of faith, a growing faith, something he introduces. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's starting a new work. Maybe it's starting a new business. Maybe it's starting a new ministry. Maybe it's deepening a relationship. Maybe it's trusting God to heal an old relationship in your life. It could be a number of things, but there's a challenge that's introduced in my life that requires your faith to grow. This is what Mary was facing with God speaking to her, that challenge. And then often the first feelings we have is confusion and a bit of fear. Well, how do I get from this confusion and this fear to a place of commitment here? We're a place of faith growing, all right? Well, here's the second word I want you to write down. The first word you wrote down was confusion. Second word I want you to write down is questions. Questions. This is so important. If you want to have a genuine, deep faith in God, all right, you have got to ask God questions. You've got to seek. You've got to ask the right questions. Questions, all right? That's so important. It's one of the keys to faith that I've learned. You have got to ask questions. A lot of times people think, well, I just need to come to God and never ask questions. Are you kidding me? Have you ever read the Bible? Every man and woman of God who actually lived by faith asked God questions. They all asked questions. They all sought God. They wanted to know what God thought, what he wanted, what he was saying, all right? Abraham, called the father of faith, asked questions all the time. Moses asked questions. Mary here, she's going to ask a question. The Apostle Paul was constantly asking questions. All great people of faith question, all right? They ask questions of God, but watch. But then they listened for an answer. They allowed him to speak back. They allowed God to answer the question, all right? And that is the key. You cannot ask God questions and then not give him time to answer them and not take time to listen. You know, sometimes we do that. You know, like in our family time, you know, we're raising teenagers, and raising teenagers is awesome. Just joking. All right. How many of you parents have asked a question, but you didn't really want an answer? It was a question like, what were you thinking? All right. You don't want to hear the answer. You know the answer. They weren't thinking. Their brain shut off. Something happened. All right. We oftentimes ask questions that are really not questions, they're statements. We're making a point. We're, you know, making a statement, putting a foot down, all right? What is wrong with you? All right, what do you think they're going to tell? Well, I'm mean and I'm bitter and I'm hurt and nobody's going to answer that. And sometimes you hurt no, all right? You're just saying something to be heard. You're not actually asking a question. Well, a lot of us, we come to God that way. That's how we approach him. We ask God a question, And a lot of us really want to know the answer, but we don't give them a chance to respond because we don't take time to listen. And a lot, and if you're wanting to grow in your faith, you're not just asking questions. You're taking time to listen, all right? You don't pray and ask God a question and then not get in his word and let him speak back. That's not how this works, all right? You want to make a statement, all right? Great, make your statement. But if you're asking God a question, you better let him answer, right? That's the difference. And that's how faith grows. This is what Mary did. So Mary has a question. The angel comes to her and he says something to her. And there was a big question in her mind. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Mary asked the angel, how can I have a baby? I am a virgin. Good question. Wouldn't you agree? I think it's a pretty good question. I think that anybody would want to ask that question, all right? How in the world am I going to have a baby under these conditions? How's this going to happen? Great question, Mary. How can this be? See, that question, though, is what leads to her faith. Because when she's first told that she's going to have a baby, she knew in her mind, she knew that it was not possible. So already, when the word came forth, in her mind, she's thinking, it's not possible for me to have a baby. But yet still, God is speaking this to me, so I need to ask him a question. How? How? All right? And then what happens is, with her and what happens a lot with us, is by asking that question to God, what you're doing is saying, all right, God, I want to trust you here. Because what you're initially telling me, God, does not make sense. What you're telling me to start a business, telling me to raise a family, telling me to launch a ministry, telling me to give, telling me to serve, it doesn't make sense. Right now, it doesn't look possible, God. So I'm going to ask you a question. God, how are you going to do this? And when you start to ask questions and you let God speak back, what you're saying is, God, I want to trust you. And trusting God often leads you face to face with God speaking right back with this, what seemingly looks impossible. And so this is what Mary's dealing with, all right? Now, for a lot of us, let's be honest, it's not quite as dramatic as Mary's facing, all right? She's facing here, you know, the Savior of the world and a virgin birth, all right? We're not dealing with that. But let's also look at it. There are a lot of impossible situations that we deal with in our lives. A lot of impossible situations, all right? You might feel like it's impossible for you to be a real, genuine person of faith. I have people message me all the time. As a pastor, you don't even realize, people who don't even attend this church who will message me and say, I don't feel like I can ever live up to what God's asking me to be. A lot of people feel like just living this life by faith is impossible. Living in this world is impossible, all right? Because they've not been able to before. It's been tough, all right? Maybe they feel like it's impossible to be that kind of person, or maybe you feel like it's impossible to get in that relationship. It's never been made right. I don't know if it ever will be right. I don't know if it ever will work out. It's been years like this, and I'm not sure it'll ever work out. I don't know. It could be a number of things, all right? I don't know if it's possible, Pastor Josh, for my life to be straightened out because my life has been so messed up. So messed up from bad decisions, from bad relationships, from... A lot of people deal with it, what look like impossible situation, and we deal with this feeling all the time. And when you have that, what do you do? Do you stop and make that statement, God, why am I going through this? Why do I keep... Or do you sincerely get to God and say, God, how are you going to change my life? What are you going to do? How are you going to help me? What can I do? And then you listen. This is what Mary did, all right? Because let me tell you something. When you really start asking God questions, God has answers. He does. He's got the answers for you. For Mary, the answer is an amazing answer, and it still helps our faith today. Luke 1:37. This is what the angel spoke back. Guess what, Mary? For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. That answer that Mary heard still encourages us today, all right? God is in it, then nothing's impossible. If God is in it, then nothing is impossible. So Mary now hears the promise that she's going to have this baby, and she says, I'm not qualified. I don't think this is going to happen. By the way, this is what a lot of us do when God challenges our faith. We typically respond with, but I'm not qualified. And I've never understood why people just immediately stamp everything unqualified, unqualified, unqualified. All right, let me help you out just for one more second, all right, before I move on into the story of Mary and what she dealt with. God specializes at taking the one person who nobody thought was qualified, whether it's you or someone else. He specializes in taking those who've been cast out, those who've been neglected, those who never thought they'd amount to anything, and using that person to blow everybody's mind and make such a big impact in this world. That's who God is. That's why in Christ, you're never unqualified. Jesus qualifies every single one of us today. Don't ever look at your life or a situation or anybody else's life and just stamp them unqualified for whatever reasons. They're qualified through Christ. That's who Jesus is. This is what God does. It's what God does. It's the most popular response we give him. I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified. I mean, you look through the Old Testament and you saw it all the time, all right? Moses was like, I'm not qualified to lead your people. I have a speech problem, right? Jeremiah was like, I can't lead your people. I'm too young. There's so many things that people used as excuses. And God says, listen, you're qualified. I'm going to use you. I'm going to do something great for you, okay? Mary discovers that God can make the impossible possible, all right? Think about this with me. What are the odds? We got a lot of new college grads in here, all right? So you college grads, help me out. What are the odds that a virgin would have a baby? Statistically, all right? Maybe you didn't take college statistics like I'm sure Christina Stradwick did. I'm sure you took. All right? But what are the odds? I'm thinking zero. Pretty much zero, all right? Those are the odds. It's not going to happen, all right? We know that answer. Some of you right now, in your life, you are under the burden of a statistic. You are under the burden of a statistic about your health, a statistic about your family, a statistic about those who are in recovery, a statistic about those of making money, a statistic about your business, a statistic about your children and their lives, all right? And I don't pretend as a pastor to know everybody's circumstance and what everybody's going through, what everybody's feeling and how it's working out or how it's not working out, but this is one thing I do know and this is one thing I'm sure of. God is greater than any statistic. He is greater than any statistics. So guess what that means? Trust him. Ask those questions. Dive into this word and listen to him. Let him speak back to you, all right? I want to learn from Mary. I want us to learn from Mary how to have faith in these situations because this is such an important point, all right? Asking these questions of God, listening to him, getting these answers. This is what led to her being a person of faith, all right? And this is what helps us take the steps of faith in our life. So I want to look a little bit closer here to the steps she took towards asking this question and getting in faith with God, all right? And so we're going to give you just a couple things real quick, and then I'm going to end up closing it down. But I got a few things more I wanted to share today with you, all right? Mary looked in three different places to turn from confusion and fear to faith, all right? Three different places. First, she looked within her, then she looked around her, then she looked above her. She looked within her, she looked around her, she looked above her, all right? And I wanted to take just a moment to share what each three mean, all right? First, you look within you. And when I say you look within you, all right, I'm not saying, you know, trust the force within you, all right? I'm not saying anything silly like that, all right? Any mumbo jumbo or the positive thinking or all that mess, all right? Mary was encouraged by the angel to realize that God's Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Remember that? So Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you're going to be filled with child. All right? When you become a follower of Christ, when you give your heart and life to Jesus, all right, the Bible says that a measure of the Holy Spirit dwells with you. Now, a lot of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God and with evidence of speaking in tongues, and we've been baptized in the Spirit of God. But when you're initially saved, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, starts to dwell within you. Starts to dwell in your life and it becomes part of your life, which means God's presence is now a part of my everyday routine. He invades and becomes a part of everything I do, a part of my thoughts, a part of my speech, a part of my actions, a part of my life, a part of my understanding, a part of my decisions. He becomes a major part of every part of my life now, all right? And for some, there's a mystery to that, and it's a big deal, and it's a big thing, all right? But the incredible thing is, the awesome thing is that when God's Spirit and the Holy Spirit of God is in your life, that means at any given moment, you can look inside to the Spirit of God and say, I need direction. I need instruction. I need wisdom, Holy Spirit. I need help. I need, and the Holy Spirit of God will give it to you. That means you don't have to wait for a church service, and I'm glad you're here today. That means you don't have to wait till you can get home and open up your Bible. That means if you don't have your phone with you and you can't just Google search a Bible scripture, that you can actually look on the inside of you with the Holy Spirit on the inside and say, I need help right now, Holy Spirit, please. Would you give me some? And the Holy Spirit will be there. And this is what Mary did instinctively. She looked within herself right away, and the Holy Spirit of God that was on the inside of her began to help. Two, you look around you. You look around you. Mary was immediately encouraged to go be with Elizabeth, who was a relative of hers, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. Y'all have heard of John the Baptist? All right, she was pregnant with John the Baptist. Elizabeth was. So here's somebody else who's facing a similar circumstance, and the angel said, Mary, why don't you go with be with somebody who is going through something similar as you, who can encourage your faith. Who can encourage your faith, all right? So when your faith is being challenged and you're going through a difficult situation or you're going through something that you're dealing with in life, you want to get around people who are going to encourage you. You want to surround yourself with people of faith, people who will pour into you faith, who will pour into you some, you know, thoughts of your success, thoughts of your prosperity, thoughts of your recovery, thoughts of your whatever it is that you're believing God for. Anybody can be Captain Obvious and point out all the things that aren't working out in your life. For some reason, we end up gravitating to those people. That's who we choose to be with. We surround ourselves with miserable, Captain Obvious losers. All right, losers was kind of harsh. Losers! So when you are in a time where you need your faith to grow and your faith is being challenged, listen to me. Get in the house of God. Get around people of faith and let that iron sharpen iron. Let God use his people to build your faith. This is how Mary's faith grew. This is how your faith will grow, all right? She didn't just look inside. She looked around and she got surrounded herself by people who would build her up. And then the third way was you look above you. You look above you. Remember, the angel spoke to her, nothing is impossible. Those last two words are so crucial. Nothing is impossible with God. And this isn't just power of positive thinking, all right? The power of positive thinking, it'll actually take you places, but it can only take you so far. Only with God is nothing impossible. Only with God are the impossibilities made possible. That only comes in one way, in one package, and that's through Jesus Christ, all right? So you always look up, look to God. There are going to be times where you can get help from no other source, where your pastors can pray with you, your friends can pray with you. We can encourage you. We'll surround you with that prayer. But your healing, your source, your help will come from God. She looked up. She looked up. So she started with some confusion. She started with a bit of fear, all right? I'm not sure what God's doing here. Then she started asking questions. But then she listened for the answer, and the answer was nothing's impossible with God, Mary. Trust me. And that led to this final word I want you to write down, what Mary did. And this third word is commitment. Commitment. She went from confusion to questions to commitment. And this is what Mary did. And this is Luke 1:38. Amazing verse. She said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. Let it happen as you have said. Let it happen as you have said. What an amazing moment. And there's some cool things about this verse. So Mary immediately right here puts her faith in God, all right? Here is this simple peasant girl that up to this point in her life, she's a teenager, she's grown up. She may have known maybe up to 100 people. Very small town. Not this big booming city. She knew like 100 people maybe, all right? She hasn't been anywhere. She hasn't seen everything. She's grown up seeing the same places, the same people all the time, this little village. She's never experienced anything, any of the kinds of things that we've experienced as teenagers in life. She's not seen any of this, all right? To be honest with you, at this point in history, she probably couldn't even read. I mean, think about that. Let's just be real. This is what Mary's dealing with here. And she couldn't read or write in this culture. And yet God comes in, challenges her faith, and in that moment, she knew everything would change. She knew everything would change from that point forward, all right? She didn't understand exactly how it was going to work, and she didn't understand how it was going to play out, and she knew other people wouldn't understand it either, but yet she said, I am your servant. It's not going to be up to me. It's going to be just as you said. I'm going to follow your plan just like you said. it's your will, not mine, Lord God. I'm the Lord's servant. She immediately puts her faith in God. I want to have that kind of faith. I want every mom, every dad, every man, every woman in this building to have that kind of faith. That when God challenges us, when he speaks something to us, when we face a challenge, we may be going in through that moment where we have the confusion. We may go through that moment where we have some fear, but it leads to questions. Those questions lead to answers from God's voice, from the Spirit of God, from this word. And that word, that answer that God gives us leads us to a place of commitment. A place of faith where now we are responding to the Lord. You know, the other thing that was amazing to me about this verse here that I had never really thought of, you have God Almighty, the creator of the universe. He's spoken this to a teenage girl and he's waiting on an answer from a teenage peasant girl. How amazing is that? That the God of the universe, the creator of everything, is waiting on a simple answer from a little teenage girl. I mean, that blew my mind. Her faith in this part pleased God, blessed God. God knew she was going to say yes. That's why he spoke to her. He knew what was going on in the life of Mary, but her faith played such a huge part in this, just like our faith plays such a huge part in what God's doing in our life, how he's working in our life. Mary said yes to God. She said yes. I want you to take just a moment. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just think about some of the challenges in your life, some of the things that you're going through. And I want us, just as an act of faith, I want us to say this. I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, Lord, I'm your servant. My response is yes. Yes, Lord. Now look up at me. How hard was that? How difficult was that? It wasn't. But yet it's so powerful. This is what Mary did in that moment. Yes, Lord. All right? She said, thy will be done. Be to me as you have said. And she started by saying, I am the Lord's servant. And from that point forward, God started opening up things in her life that she had never seen or experienced before, ever. And it began with that faith that she had in God. So I wanted to share some things about Mary, and I'm going to finish up with her, but there was something that the Lord dropped into my heart that I really wanted to focus on for just a couple minutes today that I thought would minister to some parents, especially to some moms, because I think moms carry this burden maybe somewhat heavier than dads do some ways. All right, so we don't talk about this a lot, but you know that faith can actually sometimes lead to problems? Oh, you got real quiet on that one. Let me ask you this, all right? When Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, what happened when Jesus was born? Were they able to just return home to Nazareth? No. There's a problem. They had to go flee for their life in Egypt. Another angel had to warn them and tell them where to go. Right now, I'd rather face problems in life through faith than not have any faith at all and just deal with life, all right? But there are times when your faith will lead to these challenges, to these problems. You see it all throughout Scripture, right? It's not a bad thing. It's God working in and through your life, right? But sometimes that happens. For Mary and Joseph, it did. And the reason why is because, and we've learned this, we've just not articulated it well, faith is not always convenient. Faith means sometimes you have to turn and swim upstream, trusting God that he's making a way. Faith means starting a business when you don't know how it's going to work out. Faith means raising a child in 2019 when this world is full of so much evil and blatant, obvious evil. It's the truth. Faith is not always convenient. Now, tying this to parenting where I wanted to get to today. I know that for some of you, as parents and as moms today, and I had a word for you, all right? We know that we deal with problems with children, all right? My wife and I, we deal with problems with our children. We have great kids, and we understand. But there are times where, as a mom or as a dad, where you think, what if my child is the problem? Because I know some parents who have been facing this. It's not that my child has problems. It's my child is the problem. And this was brought up. You know, I just wanted to take a few moments and release some burdens in here today before we get out of here. Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't turn from it. You've heard this before? Okay. I hear this often. Pastor Josh, my child is not going to church. They've not gone to church since they left our home. They're not living for God. They've gone astray, all right? They're living a rebellious life. And some of it even shared with me, I feel like this verse is telling me I've failed. I have failed because my child's not living for the Lord, and I thought I did this right. And you know, and this is a great proverb. It's a powerful proverb, all right? And it's become a source of so much pain and hurt for so many people because they feel like they've let their kids down because they didn't do what this verse said in the first part, train a child in the way he should go. Because if I did, then when he's old, he won't turn from it. Well, since he's turned from it, then clearly I blew the first part. I messed this up, all right? And as a parent, I get the process here. The feelings of pain and no wondering if you're doing it right and if you're leading your kids right and if you're making the right choices, making the right decisions for your kids. And listen, every parent who actually loves their kids, you don't want your kids growing up with problems. If you're a Christian family, you want your kids living closer to Jesus than you live for yourself. You want your kids living a better, blessed life than you got to live for yourself. That's what every parent really wants for their kids, to live a better life, so you work your tail off and do everything you can to provide that better life so that they can start even further than you did. Isn't it? We all go through that as moms and dads. We deal with that. And so what happens is this, as parents, especially parents in the church, we start looking for guarantees. We start looking for a guarantee that will lock this in. Lock in, guarantee my family stays right. Guarantee my kids stay safe. Guarantee my kids always follow Jesus. Never mess up, never fall away, never make the wrong choices, never make the wrong decisions. We start looking for these guarantees that their kids are going to always live this life of faith, always live this problem-free life, all right? And we look at it, this verse, and we think, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And we look at it and we go, that's a guarantee. I do this, it's settled. I do this, it's taken care of. I've got this guarantee here, and it's great until it happens. And I was a youth pastor, my wife and I were for years, and we've dealt with this a number of times, where it happens, where they get surrounded by the wrong people, and they make a poor decision, and it leads to other poor decisions. And the next thing you know, instead of your child living in faith and following God, they've fallen, or they've gone astray. Maybe they're not living this horrible, awful, evil, destructive lifestyle and life pattern, but they're not living close to the Lord like they used to, and it's hurting you, and it's bothering you, and as a parent, you're just going, man, what's going on here? And at that moment, as a parent, you're kind of in a trap. If you've read this verse as a guarantee that nothing bad can ever happen, because now you've got to believe one of two things. One, you've got to believe that God doesn't honor his promises, but you know God's promises have been fulfilled in so many other areas of your life, so you go, but that's not it. Because he's been faithful in so many other areas. So then that leads to the second thing that you have to believe. You start to believe, well, I must have failed. Then I should have done something differently. Then I should have done better. Then I should have trained right. And I just wanted to share this with you today. None of us are perfect parents. Nobody in here is a perfect parent. All right? Would you agree with that? I mean, to be honest with you, there's some days where I think, man, I'm glad my children are still alive. I mean, how much beef stew can you feed a kid out of a can and he still lives? Some of you are thankful that you made it out of childhood yourselves. You remember, no perfect parents, all right? And when you think about what we do as parents and the mistakes that we make and the things that we go, none of us are perfect, all right? But we're loving. And we want to do our very best, and we want to give our kids the best possible life that they could have. And so we want to raise them to know faith, and we want to raise them to know God. And we begin looking at our life and thinking to ourselves, if I'd have done that differently, if I'd have done that better, maybe everything would have turned out better. Maybe they'd have made better choices. Maybe they'd have done, you know, something a little bit better. And we've been looking for a guarantee that God's going to violate their free will, and he's not going to do that. He's just not. And make them be good and make them do what you want them to do and how you, and I'm sorry, there's no such thing as that guarantee. It's not there, all right? So here's what happens to a lot of moms and a lot of dads. You start torturing yourself. You do. You start torturing yourself. And I, again, wanted to remind you of something today. We are not perfect parents, but God is a perfect father. Thank you, Jesus. God is a perfect heavenly Father, perfect love, perfect compassion. The Bible says his love never fails. It's a love that never falls apart. But watch this. But yet look at, although he's a perfect father, look at how many of his children have blown it. That hit me last night. That's why you don't have notes today. I thought, look at all the children who have blown it. Started with the first two kids, Adam and Eve. I mean, they really blew it. Got kicked out of the house and everything. The garden was the house. You know? And all of a sudden, you have people that are running from God. But yet, God does not place himself under that burden. He still continues to be all loving, all forgiving. But yet, he has given us free will, a choice. All right? So what does this verse mean then? What is the promise, Pastor Josh? All right? If you train up a child the way he or she should go, when they're old, they're not going to department. First, what does old mean? Old. That's what it means. It means old. Is 16 old? Is 16 old? Is 29 old? Is 39 old? I'm not going there. Oh, Lord. The promise is that if you will teach your children the right things, the moral things, when you teach them about faith, the Bible says it's seed sown and it is in there. It is in there. That seed is in there. They're going to remember it, all right? Now, the promise of that verse being fulfilled, it may not happen when they're young, 16, 18, 25, 30. But the Bible declares and the promise is that if you will teach them right, teach them faith, live it in front of them, live it as examples with them. Don't just go to church, be the church. Don't just talk about Jesus, live for Jesus. If you'll do these things, when they're old, they may have gray hair, they may be older than you are sitting there right now, but when they're old, it's still there. That means it's not a guarantee, but there's a promise that they won't depart. That means there is a seed of the Word of God in their heart. It'll strengthen, it'll guide, it'll bring healing, it'll lead them towards the Lord. And you hold on to that promise no matter what. So my encouragement is let go of some of those burdens today, some of those pressures. Don't hold yourself to some standard that not even God himself holds himself to as a father, and he's perfect. And you allow God to be God and trust God for your seed, all right? One of the most valuable lessons my mom ever taught me was, Josh, don't ever rip up that seed that God has sown or that you have sown in the name of the Lord. Trust that God is going to grow that seed to produce a powerful fruit in your life. So I just felt led today to do a couple things. Wanted to share that with some of you moms and dads to just kind of release some of the burden, some of the stress. Okay. So Mary, a lot of times we're going to end with this. Mary, a lot of times we got the image of her crying at the cross and, you know, she's sad because Jesus is dead and all these things. And he's, you know, and then we have the image of her running into the tomb and Jesus is alive. We don't really think about it, what happened after the fact. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. I wanted to show you this. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What an awesome picture. Here you have the best Mother's Day ever for Mary, all right? Think about this. She's got her son with her right here who's resurrected. That's a pretty good Mother's Day. Then she's got the other sons, the brothers that were fighting with Jesus while they were growing up all their lives. And now you've got this new church, this new work starting. They're sitting in church, all celebrating, praying, worshiping God. Some of you all came with your moms today. We got other people that went with their moms to their church on Mother's Day. This is what happened. With Mary here, she's got her family with her, singing, worshiping, praising God. Jesus is there. The brothers are there. I thought, what a beautiful picture for Mary. From that first day where God spoke to her and said, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be a miraculous, life-changing, world-changing event. And she was confused and afraid, but she responded in faith to this moment right here in Acts 1 where she got to celebrate her family all together, her resurrected son, the Savior of the world, surrounded by his brother, surrounded by her family, starting the new work of the Lord, launching the church. What a powerful, powerful moment. Faith always leads. to purpose. And it began that day when Mary said, I'm your servant. Lord, be it done to me just as you've said. Just as you've said. It starts sometimes with confusion, but then it should lead to questions. Those questions lead to answers. Those answers lead to you making a commitment, faith in God, letting God use you, doing something great. Will the road be easy? Will the path be straight all the time? No! There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be rocks. There's going to be hurdles. There's going to be, you know, challenges. But again, go through this process. Ask God questions. Get in this word. Get those answers. And then respond in faith.